This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at things surrounding the topic of COVID-19. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, here we are again. Thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, another mass vaccination event over the weekend. How did that go?
That went great. So we had a mass vaccination event this past weekend for educators, which include early learning and childcare. We had about 800 signed up and gave about 775 vaccines. It all worked very quickly and smoothly. And except for a little bit of rain early in the morning, it was a pretty great event.
Now, this was Moderna this time around. What was the difference in dispensing that, if any?
So the Moderna vaccine is a little easier to use. It does not need to be kept at the super cold temperatures, and it's a little easier to draw. But other than that, there was not much difference.
Now, one of the questions I've gotten in recent days, people, as they, you know, a lot of times you probably don't think about the flu vaccine or whatever things that have been around for years. But people have asked about what are these vaccines made from?
So these vaccines are made from messenger RNA, and then they're covered with a little fat globule, and that's how they're made. So messenger RNA is genetic material, and it's genetic material that tells your cells to make protein. And so these messenger RNAs are carefully made, surrounded by little fat globules, and that's how the vaccines work.
So what would you compare? I mean, is there anything to compare a messenger RNA to?
So, you know, to use just kind of a view about how genetics work, and this is very simplistic, but imagine that all of us have 46 chromosomes, 23 pairs of chromosomes, and those would be like the encyclopedias. That's where the DNA is. The RNA is the little notepad that you would take to go ahead and copy something from the encyclopedia you would use it. So imagine you'd go to the encyclopedia and you might copy down a timeline and that you'd put on a little post-it note. That little post-it note is the equivalent of messenger RNA.
Now, with the vaccines, you mentioned the storage difference. What are the differences between the two that are out now in terms of what's in them?
So they're almost identical. The sequence is almost identical. The fat globule coating is slightly different, and that's why they have different storage requirements. But other than that, they're really quite similar. They're quite similar in both their efficacy. They're quite similar in their side effects, which are rare, but do sometimes occur.
And other potential vaccines in the works? Is that coming soon?
Well, we are really, really hoping so. So there is a Johnson & Johnson vaccine made by Janssen Pharmaceuticals, which we got some response to last week. It looks like it's going to have a fairly good response, maybe not as good as Moderna and Pfizer, but pretty good. And the advantage is it does not have a difficult storage. It's much cheaper to make. And you only need one dose. The other one is the one by Novavax, which is a protein vaccine, which has been tried. And it is, again, seems to be a great vaccine. So we, within the next 2 months, could have two more vaccines out here. And that would be great because that would tremendously increase the amount of vaccine available.
You mentioned the one only needing one dose. And I'm curious, it seems like I've watched and seen and heard a lot of different comments about the vaccines. It seems like there's been a little bit of a shift, at least from some in recent days, who are now saying it's more important to get more people vaccinated with their first dose and not be quite so worried about a strict timeline for folks getting their second dose. What are your thoughts?
Well, this has been an international area of debate. So, for example, the UK and Israel have tried to get as many first doses in and have not so focused on the second dose. in the U.S., there's a brisk discussion now about the second dose. There was an article in the New York Times, an article in the Wall Street Journal that suggested that perhaps we follow the British model. Still in Oregon, we are following two doses right on time.
And what's the difference in terms of with the two current vaccines? If you just get one dose, are you not as covered as you would be in with a second dose?
Well, we still think you get about 80% protection from the first dose. So the first dose is pretty darn good. The second dose moves it from about 80 to 95%, so much better. But still, it's still really quite effective even after the first dose.
Obviously, you've been around this a long time. There are some folks that are just concerned about vaccines in general. I'm sure you're hearing some of those concerns when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccines.
We do hear some vaccines. So there's some people who are vaccine hesitant. Right now, we have far more people who want vaccines than we have vaccines. So we are not doing anything specific with vaccine hesitancy at this point. In many people, their hesitancy is because it's relatively new. And we know that when this vaccine now is out after for a long time, say 3 months or 6 months, and people have not had bad reactions and have had good protection, that perhaps some of those people who were hesitant before will be less hesitant then.
Now, what's the issue with apparently a lagging supply in vaccines, or at least getting it from the producers into people's arms?
Well, these are very, very, very difficult vaccines to make. I read an article the other day about how you have to make these vaccines. It's truly remarkable that we have any. But you first have to build the DNA copy. Then you have to build the special enzymes that will make the special mRNA. Then you have to purify that mRNA. It's a very complicated process. And because it is such a complicated process, that's why the vaccine has been in short supply.
What about another mass vaccination clinic? Do you think we'll be having another in Roseburg soon?
Well, we're going to be having an event, I think, this Wednesday, a little bit smaller, for the teachers who were not able to attend on Saturday. You know, in the future, we are starting now to do people 80 and above. And while mass events might work well for teachers or childcare people, we're not sure that mass events make much sense for seniors. You know, seniors, the idea of seniors gathering together for a long time, the idea that seniors coming out and waiting in line doesn't seem exactly right. So we are coming up with a plan. We're mostly there. We're going to be announcing on Friday what the plan is going to be. So I'm encouraging people to listen in on Friday at Facebook, look at the press release on Friday, and then if we're together next Monday, to discuss it in great detail.
One of the things that's been a shift for businesses, for organizations, people's buildings, even some folks for their homes, is sanitization. Man, if you had stock and sanitizing wipes, you'd probably be doing really well right now. So a lot of sanitizing of surfaces. And I'm curious, talk about the potential for the virus to be transmitted through these surfaces. I mean, if you have counters in your office that people are passing by, or rooms that multiple people use, whether large or small, is that a danger? And if it's not, should people be doing all this common surface disinfecting?
So early on with this virus, we were not sure how it was mostly transmitted. So we talked lots about surfaces. We talked about aerosols and droplets. It's pretty clear now that surfaces are less of a concern than we originally thought, that droplets are just as big a concern as we always thought, and that aerosols, the tiny little things that hang in the air, are probably of increased concern to what we originally thought. Because we're seeing times where many people in a place will get infected, even if they didn't have relatively close contact. So we still think droplets is the main form of transmission, but we think that aerosols is certainly accounts for some, but we don't think surfaces are nearly the concern we originally did. So that's good news.
So should people still be disinfecting those surfaces in offices and places like that, stores?
So disinfecting the surfaces actually helps for other kinds of germs. So for things like MRSA, surfaces actually tend to be the number one place. So being careful about sanitization and washing your hands or whatever, maybe not so much for COVID, but yes for the other things. And what we've seen during this outbreak is that as people have gotten more careful about hand washing and masking, that, for example, the number of flu cases is tremendously lower this year than in previous years.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. They interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246, back in a minute on Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. County Commissioner Tom Kress will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us this afternoon. We were just talking about sanitization. Classrooms at secondary schools in Roseburg. So Roseburg High, Fremont, Jolaine, middle schools, both with kids in person in cohort groups starting today. What do you know about what goes into disinfecting classrooms and things at schools?
So I think schools in general are trying to do a very good job to prevent transmission of both COVID and other germs. So I think schools are doing a good job with sanitation, but I think they're also doing a pretty good job with spacing, keeping sick people home, and the use of masks.
Now, I was just looking at the printout for today's numbers just out a few minutes ago. Local case-wise, how are we doing here for COVID-19 in Douglas County?
Well, Oregon has done very well lately. We're one of the lowest states in the country last week, and Douglas County remains the lowest big county in Douglas County. So we're doing very well. You know, remember that last week we were right on the edge of going into the extreme range, but we're certainly down in this last week.
And I see there's a little handy graph that goes with us. We'll probably post this later with the story at 541radio.com. It shows us essentially back down to where we were at points in November before the big December spike that went into January.
Indeed. So the big spike we saw probably related to holiday gatherings. And so I think since the holiday gatherings are over, there's been less of those gatherings and thus less disease.
So where are the local cases coming from at the moment?
So they're very, very scattered. So we're seeing no big outbreaks. As I looked this morning, there were no large outbreaks. There are lots of little outbreaks, twosies, threesies in schools, where two kids in a family are there and they do this. We're not seeing any known transmission in schools. We're seeing some transmission in workplaces. So somebody gets it at work and gives it to their coworkers. And so we're seeing that, but we're not seeing lots of big outbreaks, and that's why our numbers have been low.
Now, you have mentioned in the past, there was certainly a time around the holidays in particular where there were a lot of cases coming in from churches, and you had cited that being places where the COVID-19 protocols aren't being followed. And I know sometimes this gets a little out of medicine and more into politics, but what about those folks at churches who are not following the protocols because they believe it's kind of an infringement of religious freedom?
So that is politics, and I'll not answer that.
There we go. Let's talk about the state cases. What are the current hotspots in Oregon?
So Oregon has been pretty quiet. So we still see lots of cases up in the Warm Springs area, and there's still lots of cases in the Umatilla area. But other than that, the state has been quiet. There have been a number of outbreaks in correctional facilities and prisons, and those are very, 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 very hard to manage. So that's the one part of the state right now which is not under great control.
Nationally, where are we seeing an uptick?
Well, we are seeing lots of disease in Arizona, South Carolina, Texas, New York, Rhode Island are having lots of disease, and we don't fully understand that. What we have heard this week is that in South Carolina there have been several cases of the South African variant, and that's very worrisome because that could explain some of the high rates of disease in such disparate places.
Now, do we have any more idea on these variants? And it seems like we keep hearing about new ones.
Well, we are learning more every day about these variants, and these variants occur. Remember, we talked about the post-it notes copying from the encyclopedia. What a variant is you'd copy it but be a little incorrect. Now, most of those mistakes you'd make would be little, and it really wouldn't change what was going on. But as I've used the analogy of the past, let's say this was a recipe you were copying, and instead of 1 teaspoon of vanilla, you put in 3 teaspoons of vanilla, and that was now a much better recipe than it was before. That would then spread. If it was nonsense, you spelled vanilla wrong, probably wouldn't do anything. Or if instead you put Tabasco instead of vanilla, it wouldn't spread anywhere because it would taste terrible. And so these mutations are rare. When they do occur, most of them are nonsense. But with enough people having the disease and enough transmission, there's going to be the occasional one, which is actually going to make it better. And this is what we think happened in the UK, South Africa, and Brazil, is there were variants that actually made this germ better. And that's what the concern is. So the way to stop these mutations is to stop lots of transmission.
So around the world, is the mutation kind of the big concern right now?
The mutation is a big concern for a few reasons. So if the mutation makes this disease more transmissible, then you're going to have a higher number of people immune to get herd immunity. The other problem with the variants is that the vaccine may work less well. Now, we still think the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine work well against all the variants. Maybe not as well as they did before, but work well against all the variants. But the concern is that if further variations occur, that you could certainly wind up with a variant for which the vaccine was ineffective, and that would be really tragic.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier in the first segment, and this came up over the weekend talking to somebody as well, flu cases down dramatically. You mentioned that a bit ago, and it goes back to something that we talked about probably in maybe April or maybe even March, probably April, about how a lot of these things with, you know, washing hands and all those sort of things that, you know, feel like getting drilled into us endlessly now, that if American society would have done all those things, including some sanitization along the way, we probably would have reduced a lot of issues throughout the year in a lot of different ways.
Right. So we know that careful hand hygiene, wearing masks and whatever really also decreases flu. Now, you know, flu is a bad disease, but flu is so much less transmissible and so much less deadly than COVID that the risk and the benefit for masking all the time in a flu season is a much harder argument to make. There's both an easy test for the flu, there's a very effective medication for the flu, and an effective vaccine. So while we've been always worried about the flu, we haven't taken the strong steps that we've taken against COVID because COVID is really so much worse than the flu.
Yeah, I talk about that, but you sent me a graph the other day. I wasn't able to incorporate it into a story at this point, but I took a look at it, and you showed the differences between cases and or deaths tied to COVID versus the seasonal flu.
Right. So those years when you hear there were 30,000 deaths or 50,000 deaths associated with the flu season, they are deaths associated with the flu season and not necessarily the disease flu itself. Because many people who die don't actually have a diagnosis of influenza at the time. And so what they've used year to year has been the excess of number of deaths over the number of expected deaths. And that's where you've gotten that. When you actually look at the number that actually have a diagnosis of influenza, it follows that same, but it's much lower. It's only about 10% of the cases. With COVID, you can look at the deaths either way, and no matter how you look at it, the deaths from COVID are many, many, many times, we say at least 20 times more than the flu. So flu is bad. Don't get me wrong there. Flu is bad. We spend a lot of time working on flu, but COVID is 20 times worse.
People are beginning to think towards spring and summer with the new year here. Will we have enough people vaccinated to be able to have typical summer events, outdoor concerts, city festivals, fairs, if they're done maybe somewhat differently?
I believe so. We think that outdoor events are considerably safer than indoor events. So I can imagine Docs games where families are separated by 6 feet. We think that would be really a quite safe kind of thing. We think going to an outdoor soccer game where people are reasonably spaced on the sidelines, a very safe thing to do. I think golfing, very safe thing to do. So as the weather gets nicer, we think there are going to be lots of really good, really fun and safe activities out there.
How does that tie in for outdoor concerts where you might have hundreds of people, you know, in a park around Douglas County?
Well, it could work. I mean, if you think of music on the half shell, if you had people 6 feet between your blankets and didn't have a lot of mixing on the in and out, you could do that pretty safely. Again, outdoors is so much safer than indoors. We have tried to find times where there's been a lot of transmission in outdoor places, and it's really hard to find. Almost all of the times where there's been transmission, it's been indoors.
All right, just about out of time for today. That'll be an interesting to watch situation to watch evolve. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Jenhofer, again, what's your next time on your Facebook program?
Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
And then again later in the week, right?
And then Friday at 4. And Friday at 4 is when we're going to talk about the plan for seniors.
All right. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.